Hello and welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler here alongside Jeremy File. Obviously we got a little something special cooked up from Jeremy, not me. We hope you guys are going to have a great weekend. Really quick before we dive into it, Tom Izzo, Coach of the Year, no surprise to either of us. I know File made a case for Trey Burke for Player of the Decade, and obviously that went to Frank Kaminsky with his back-to-back Final Fours. And before we dive into it, Jeremy, I want to talk to you because Big Ten Network announced today that they're going to be doing the football team of the decade. Give me that one player, that one guaranteed first teamer from U of M.
Yeah, you know, you had, we talked about this just a moment ago. And I had mentioned that Denard Robinson is probably the only guy for me that stands out in the decade as far as like greatness, but that being a quarterback, there was just too many good quarterbacks, during that time frame.
Pretty much anybody from Ohio State and Connor Cook is what it's down to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be disrespectful to Connor Cook and anyone that played at Ohio State at quarterback to put Denard above them. But Denard was definitely the one guy that Michigan's had in the decade that really has stood out. But if I want to look at positions, if I want to argue one position, and this guy I thought was just fantastic, and I know it's going to maybe be a little curveball for you, Tyler, but I think Devin Bush was just fantastic for Michigan. And, as much as statistically, I don't know if he stands out compared to other guys, but when you put him up against anybody in this conference in the last decade at the linebacker position, he definitely has a case for an argument at least. Other than that, I mean, it just hasn't been a lot of guys that you could put in first team, in my opinion. I mean, Jordan Lewis was a great corner, but there's just too many good corners in this conference in the last decade. Bradley Roby, obviously, right away pops up. You know, Darqueze Dennard at Michigan State. I mean, you could
Jeff
name a few
Okuda.
Guys. You know, Jeff Okuda, you know, who's now a Lion, so, you know, we're excited about him. But, I think Devin Bush is the one guy in the decade where really made a huge impact on not only for Michigan, but just the game. And he is obviously doing fantastic in the NFL already as a Steeler, which in your household I know is important. But, I don't know. I mean, you know what's really sad when I say it this way? That's where Michigan football has been the last decade. You just can't think of a name. I mean, Tyler says this, and I'm like, man, a lot of good players, but first team, man, I don't – Jabril
well, it's hard when, you know, like with Michigan State sucking in the back end of the decade, Michigan sucked for the first half. It's really hard to find those guys unless you do have a Darqueze Dennard type who, you know, who, by the way, for Michigan State, my guaranteed lock. You know, you could look at Conklin. Shalique Calhoun was actually better than Joey Bosa as a junior, and people tend to overlook that. But Darqueze Dennard averaged less yards per attempt than Deion Sanders in college. And so I think that's a guarantee, you know, Thorpe Award winner. Like that, I just feel like that one's a no-brainer. But look, like I said, the idea for today's show came courtesy of you, not me, and I feel like I need to put it on like that because it is kind of a Michigan – it is very Michigan State themed, you know. It's a tribute more or less to, you know, a dynamic career, one that was cut, you know, probably, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks too soon with Cassius Winston. And so I'm going to let you take the lead here for a minute because this was your idea. So,
yeah, well, I think number one, what you just said has to be noted first. I think this season being cut short does a lot of impact on Cassius Winston and his career because we don't know how great it could have ended. We also know what he went through this year as far as the family tragedy, losing his brother. I thought it was unbelievable how well he played going through that. I think the last 2 years of his career have just been outstanding. I mean, you look no further than the Duke game. I mean, you take Cassius Winston off that team, and that's a 20-point loss for sure. It may be 30. You know, Duke was taken off. We watched that game. It was one of the best games I've ever seen in March Madness history. Cassius Winston basically went on a 9-0 run by himself. Maybe it was 11-0 run or 11-2, whatever it was. Duke was really pushing away in that first half, and he just carried everybody on his back, whether it was making a pass or it was making an and one, making a play.
Hitting Tillman for the three at the top of the key.
You know, he just did everything, and that's who he is as a player. I mean, he's the type of guy that get him the ball, he's going to make plays for your team. He's going to, you know, it. How many times have we seen the last 2 years, Tyler, where the game's close? I mean, I can remember it at Chrysler Center last year. When, you know, both teams were at the top of the conference and he just took over. I mean, he completely dominated the game. They ball screened the whole game. So he just was unbelievable. He was the most valuable player in that conference for 2 years running. I don't care what anybody says. And that's really hard to do. You know, no offense to Garza at Iowa, but I just don't think there's any way that we could put anybody over Cassius Winston. And the reason why I wanted to do this about him too is I think there's a lot of disrespect that he's received. I mean, I feel like, you know, the top five point guard deal, the koozie watch he wasn't on, I thought that was ridiculous. You know, you look at him as not being rated very high to play in the NBA. I think that's wrong. And I just think you got to watch him play and not look at what he looks like as far as size and athleticism, but look what he does for his team. And I don't think we've seen a point guard in a long time in this conference and in the country do that. I mean, there's a lot of good players, but Cassius Winston will be sorely missed. I mean, I'm going to miss watching him play, even though he was putting a dagger in our heart here in Ann Arbor. But he was just a lot of fun to watch, and his story is incredible. And boy, if you're an NBA GM, get your mind right, because this guy could come in, whether it's a backup or whether you're a franchise that really just needs a leader. You know, he could come in and lead your team. And I hope that's what happens. COVID-19 is not helping any of that, because I don't, you know, he can't really show just how skilled he is, because he's just a fantastic player. I mean, he really is.
Yeah, there's no summer league for these guys to be like, hey, look, I know you're like in Cassius' case, you know, most of the mock drafts have him going to LA,
yeah,
the Lakers, and there's no summer league for him to, you know, maybe put on an exhibition against a higher, a higher ranked prospect that, you know, fits that athletic mold that the NBA typically goes after.
I have a hard time believing if you put him in a game, you know, against LaMelo Ball, right? Let's just say both teams are relatively even in a summer league game. And, you know, the cards are stacked not to an advantage of either one. I have a really hard time believing that LaMelo Ball would outplay Cassius Winston. I just do. I mean, I can't see it. I mean, LaMelo Ball improved. He's a guy that's, you know, gosh, they're putting him as high as, what, two or three. A lot of people are saying he may be the best point guard available, even though he is kind of a combo. He can play off the ball as well. But really, he's noted as a point guard. And that just goes to show you the disrespect, because, you know, it's disrespectful on two reasons. Number one, I guess we just don't have much high regard for college basketball anymore. Or we just apparently we go by hype only, because Cassius Winston, player for player, has done so much more than that kid has. And I really question the decision makers in the NBA or the people that have these mock drafts, if they really watch a lot of games, because I just don't think they watched him play enough, because he absolutely changed the scoreboard. And what is your job as a point guard? And I guess this is why I'm so excited about today's show, is I play point guard. Your main job is to change that scoreboard. If you're down eight, you got to find a way to get it, you know, within two or take the lead somehow. That is Cassius Winston, man. That is exactly what he did all the time, over and over. And you got to have that on your organization. And here's the thing I want to end on the pro talk, because before I get too mad, Cassius Winston, if he doesn't play in the NBA, is going to have an unbelievable basketball career. He's going to go overseas. He's going to play in Europe. And that style where he's going to kill it. He's going to go overseas. He fits in beautifully at that style off the ball screen. He's creative. He's a great passer. They love that. And he's going to make a lot of money. I believe his career is going to be great, but I just really would like to see an NBA team pick him up earlier too.
Yeah. And I think that if anything, it's going to take, like in college, it took him a while to adjust. You know, I'll say it because nobody else will. He sucked as a freshman.
Yeah.
And I could not for the life of me understand why people thought that he was better than Nairn as a freshman. I will never get that. But obviously what he's done over the last 2 years in his development, so I think it's going to be that type of thing in the NBA is you're going to draft him and he's going to have to develop a little bit if you want him to be a significant player. But he can come in off the bench and he can run your offense. He's not going to be the primary option. And Lord knows he's not going to be the primary option if he goes to a spot like the Lakers where – if they get in foul trouble on the wing or something like that, you can slide LeBron over and put Cassius in there, let Cassius run the show and get LeBron the ball where he needs it. Able to hit Kuzma off screens, a pick and roll Cassius and Antonio Davis.
Oh, yeah.
are you kidding me? That would be something to behold. And I think that, that's the thing is he's not going to – I don't think in the NBA he's ever going to be looked at to do what he did at Michigan State over his last 2 years. But I think he can do well enough where he can have a successful career in it just being a point guard that runs an offense. And it doesn't matter what it is if you need him to come off screens and even, catching the ball off a DHO, the way he shoots. This is my question. Is I follow basketball. I understand the game. You know, obviously not to your extent. So I'm going to ask you this. The way he shoots and he cocks the ball back on the shoulder like that, how are you right-handed coming off a screen, off a dribble, off a DHL running to your left and draw fouls instead of, someone just reaching over and just taking the ball right out of your hand? Like, the psychological impact that Cassius Winston can have on an opponent just is beyond anything that I've really seen from a point guard at Michigan State.
Well, I think your question is, is how is he able to do that the way he shoots it? I will say this, because, to be honest, he may have to change a few things. He might have to get the shot off quicker. It's not a slow release, but it's a – it's a shot that may have to change. I mean, you look at Lonzo Ball, his shot was goofy because of the way he had the ball, the placement of it. That's not what Cassius' issue is. It's just not getting it off quick. Lonzo Ball's shot was quick. It was horrible form.
Cassius uses more arm than just wrist.
It's almost like, a boomerang style, the way he cocks it back and it's just a different looking shot, but boy, it goes in a lot. He's good. To go to all the things you just said, the one thing that people need to realize when it comes to the NBA is a lot of these backup point guards are asked to do a lot. I mean, you look at it, for example, Trey Burke gets picked up by a lot of teams. I think they're expecting him to come off the bench and create a buzz right away. He's going to have to be with a fit with a team, Tyler, that he comes in and he just manages the game. He doesn't, he defends better. That is something he'll have to improve on. He's going to have to keep guys in front of him because it's just such an athletic league. You're not going to have as much help.
Which he's really stepped up on throughout the course of the last season.
Yeah, he's improved. I think it's going to have to greatly improve because of the way the NBA's played. I mean, I watch a lot of EuroLeague basketball. EuroLeague basketball is very similar to high-level college basketball with obviously better individual players. The style is so much like college basketball, though. And so I could see Cassius Winston playing in the EuroLeague and being absolutely fantastic. You look at guards like Nick Calathes and stuff like that. He's that type of player. He's the guy that come off a screen, make a great pass, and that's who he could be. There's no question about it. And the NBA is so different where it's an athletic one-on-one team or a one-on-one game, and the team part is put away a little bit.
Everybody can shoot it. And so the floor is just more spread out because you can't leave them alone.
Yeah, it's the way the style of play is to where he's not going to just blow by you every time one-on-one. He's not super explosive. But what he does have great is he's great off ball screen, which a lot of teams run. He's great at managing a team. The way he's going to fit in, Tyler, is just exactly what I said. He has to find the right fit. the right fit needs to come to him. So if he can go on a very good organization that just needs a point guard to step in, look at McConnell for the Sixers. Ben Simmons is the guy. Yep. McConnell comes in and does his job. You know, he's not great, but he does a good job. He manages the game, but he defends well. He definitely defends well. So I think if Cassius can defend a little better, find the right fit, you know, playing for a team, hey, like the Warriors, you know, if he could be the backup point guard of Steph Curry, that's beautiful. Steve Kerr would love that.
I would love that. Put him and Green on the same team.
Right. There's some camaraderie there. That's a good fit. He's not going to be a guy that comes in the first few years, takes over an organization and averages 18-9 like college. It's not going to happen. But he could be a guy that plays for a great team and come off the bench and really, really help you. So I hope that NBA GMs are smart and know that. He's not highly rated right now, so I don't expect a team that needs a player to come in and help them win right away. It's not going to be the case for him, hopefully. I just don't want him to see – you know what would be a great fit for him, in my opinion, and this may come off, you know, the wall a little bit, but I'm just thinking about it. Playing with a bunch of young guys in New Orleans where you're the backup point guard and you can get out there and ball screen with Zion, just get him the ball, get the hell out of the way. And if you're open, just hit that shot because he's so effective. His shooting percentage, what did he shoot from three this year? It was ridiculously high.
He's 43 for his career, I believe.
That's unbelievable shooting percentage. You know, unbelievable. So that's an example. He could come off the bench for even a young up-and-coming team. He could be the backup in Memphis. You know, Ja Morant's the man. He needs a blow. Cassius Winston comes in. Hey, Jaren Jackson, set that screen. We know how to play.
You know. Jaren Jackson, I swear to God, I'll give you the ball in the middle.
Right, exactly.
So, I didn't do it last time. I'll do it this time.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it would be foolish if an NBA team, I think we know he'll be selected. I think that's not the question, but I think it would be foolish if a team threw him to the side, you know, where they brought him in and, you know, they cut him or they brought him down. This is a guy that you really need on your team. And it's going to take a few years. I think his body will change. He already changed it a little bit this year. I think he's going to be great. I mean, it's just a guy I really am pulling for. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's really hard not to. And I mean, you already talked about, you know, his brother, you know, or kind of this ended up being more of a scouting report than it did a tribute, but.
Well, let's get to the tribute stuff. Let's talk about some games. I mean, my gosh.
I want to start with the Binghamton game. The Binghamton game from this year, just the way he, you know, this was the first game after the loss of his brother. And every single assist that he had, there was just something special about it. Like, I don't really know how to put my finger on it. Like, he threw the ball underhand, like Michael Jordan running out along the sideline before he hits up Bill Ambeer and just jumps and spins around. Winston hit Watts in stride doing that. And with a defender like right there and just pinpointed it like Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, like just a perfect pass to him. The baseline pass to Thomas Kithier bounced right along the sideline, looked like it was going out of bounds and just spun back in. There was something special about that game, the way he came to play. And that is right up there for me, even right up there with the Duke game. Right up there with, you know, the Big Ten tournament championship against Michigan that I was at, where he hit that game winner that just sat on the front of the rim against Teske. Like that Binghamton game, that was just a real special one to watch.
You know, this is me tooting my horn a little bit, and at the lowest level possible. humbly I say, you know. Cassius Winston, I've mentioned this to you off air a few times. You know, he reminded me in some ways of what my career was in high school, where I don't think I blew anyone away with athleticism, that's for sure. But I think
as someone who sat on the bench for every game, I will vouch for that.
But I think what people you know, we did an amazing Zoom meeting with our starters. And one of the things that one of our teammates said, I really appreciated, because it made me realize this is why I play the way I did, is, you know, so many times Jeremy stepped up and got it done for us. And that felt good, because that was for my team. I mean, that wasn't for me to get a pat on the back. That was, we need to win this game. Cassius Winston at the higher level, how many times did this guy break my heart as a Michigan fan where, hey, at Chrysler last year, took over. This year at Breslin, just said, give me the ball, I'm just going to take over now. Big Ten tournament championship. Big Ten tournament championship. Game winner. I mean, the last game of the year last year, where Michigan played great at first, Cassius Winston took over, and he calmly does it. It's not like, you know, you look at the stats and you're like, he had 22-9. What the heck? You know, he had 27-9. He had 30-10. I mean, he did it so many times in the biggest moments. The best players always do it when it matters the most. And anything I've ever done good in basketball, that's the one thing I loved about the game, was when I stepped up in the biggest moment. I mean, that's what you do as a point guard. Nobody did it better at point guard the last 2 years than Cassius, and maybe nobody did it better this whole decade. And Tyler has a good argument about that, because I think when we remember all these games, he was just so spectacular. Even as great as Trey Burke was, Trey Burke didn't have a great moment until the Kansas game. You know, and that was very well documented in the Big Ten Elite 2013 docuseries. You know, he couldn't hit a shot at the end. He missed game winner against Kraft. The ball is rolling around the rim. He loses the game against Indiana with an open layup. You know, he missed shots to win it. Cassius Winston, how many times did this guy take over the game? I mean, I can think of at least 6 or 7 times on top of my head, and 3 or 4 of those games were against my team. So, you know, it's just, I'm going to miss watching him. I remember this year texting Tyler about this. I want to say this last thing. Remember I texted you when they were at the Breslin, because Juwan Howard in Michigan looked pretty good. And all I could talk about was who? Cassius. Like, this guy's just unbelievable. He's just fantastic. And you can't even hate, you know, you almost want him to do well even when he's kicking your team's ass. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing for me. And he's just – I'll miss him so much. I really will.
Yeah, very likable guy. And, I mean, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the end of his career and everything else today, you know, it was down. I don't even remember what the score was. They were just getting. Maybe I'm starting to see it a little bit. At the same time, it was just Northwestern, so who really gave a crap? But it was something to watch. Like, and it was the same type of way you mentioned it. It was slow. It was methodical. You're down by 25. He's not just chucking threes. He's knocking a couple down here and there, but he's looking inside to Bridges. He's looking inside to Ward. And he – look, if I had to sit there and rank that class by, you know, best player would be with Langford, Ward, Bridges, and obviously Cassius, it goes Bridges, Ward, Langford, Cassius, in that order, right, when they were coming in. Cassius was now supposed to be the star, and he ended up being better than all of them. And, you know, you could make a case. I was almost completely backwards, because right now it's starting to look like, all right, obviously Winston's going to be number one, even no matter what Langford does this year. Langford could be number two, depending on this season. And then Ward and Bridges, I mean, you could flip a coin. It doesn't really matter at that point who the – better one is. I mean, Bridges was a lot more exciting, but they were both really good basketball players at Michigan State. You know, neither one really spectacularly great, but
Bridges was dominant at times. I mean, I don't want to compare him to Nick Ward, because Bridges was obviously a guy that could take over at times too. But I think with Bridges, just to kind of get off topic, he did a lot of things that were probably you know, forgotten. You know, it's kind of like Jaren Jackson. People forget how dominant he was because he was gone so quick. Yeah. I mean, when guys leave quick like that at Michigan State, I think we forget. Like Zach Randolph, for example, stays 1 year, and people are like, you know, oh, what did he even do at Michigan State? Well, he came off the bench and dominated. You know, it's like people forget how good he was, and it was just different. Cassius had a great career at Michigan State. I think we have to, what Tyler's doing here is he does a great job of this, is he judges on what you do in college. You know, we're not going to talk about what Miles Bridges is doing right now in the NBA, or we're not going to talk about what Draymond Green's even doing in the NBA right now. We're talking about what a guy did in college for 4 years. And Cassius Winston is number one in that class. There's no question.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's the same type of situation. I did Ice Sports when I was working with Ice Sports Web. I did top 20 players for Izzo's 20 years, and I might need to, you know, update that list. It's been 5 years later, and I think Cassius Winston made a little bit of a jump.
Oh, yeah.
You know, since he wasn't even at the school at first. But, yeah, I mean, like, even Jason Richardson, you know, you hear that, and you're like, oh, my God, he's one of the best. That's like, is he really? You go and you look at it, like, I had him at 16 on my little list over Izzo's 20 years, and, you know, obviously he's fallen since then with the addition of
let me Winston cut you off, because like, this is my show. I'm the Spartan. I think I'm a Spartan fan secretly. I think we already went over this.
That really negates the purpose of the show.
No, you know, I just like to call it how it is, I guess. Let me say this. This is going to be you know, something that hopefully gets someone's attention. I think from what I've seen with Cassius Winston in these last 2 years, considering what he's been through, all the superlatives, and what he's was successfully too, not just, you know, the story's great. I want to make sure people know this, that the story's great. It's sad, but he's a great player, number one. You know, I mean, we that just adds to his greatness. He's already going to be the same level of player for me if that doesn't happen, okay? I'm going to go out there and put myself on the ledge here. And I don't care what anybody thinks. From the last decade, for sure, he's by far the best player Michigan State's had. By far. And I know that's a huge statement to make, but as far as what he did and how he dominated.
I agree with you.
In the last 20 years, he's in my top five, no question. I think you put Mateen in one, obviously, at the point, hey, whatever. Cassius, you and Mateen both just dribble the ball whenever you want. I don't think there's been a player. I mean, Kalen Lucas was great. I mean, he was unbelievable. You know, he was fun to watch, too. I think Cassius Winston is a better basketball player than him overall. I mean, I just do as much.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think there's a comparison. I just think that – I guess I'm more shocked, Tyler, that people give him his due and people love him, but they don't talk like we are about him. Like, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the best players they've ever had there. And
I'm going to say this. I look at the college career. So when you look at just college, you know what? Magic Johnson was a great player. Mateen Cleaves was the best player Michigan State's ever had.
Yeah.
Based upon what he did in school. I think Bill Raftery was the one who said that. I watched a championship game the other day, but I can't remember who said it, but someone said something to that effect, that Magic was only there 2 years. You know, Mateen did this. He recruited football, he recruited basketball, recruited hockey even.
Yeah.
You know, a basketball player recruiting hockey, a basketball player from Flint recruiting hockey, like, that's just insane. And then you look, Cassius Winston's number two all time at Michigan State, period. Magic is number three.
Yeah, that's because
without Magic, I mean, obviously you're not going to get that tip to Cleaves, but it took 21 years after Magic was there for Michigan State to get another title. Took 16 to get Mateen Cleaves there. Like, Mateen didn't watch Magic in college, so who knows how much of an effect that had on Cleaves' commitment. Cleaves' commitment to Michigan State is what changed the course of the basketball program. Yeah, there's no reason to think Cassius Winston's not number two.
There's no question. I want to give you an example. This is a prime example of what it means to be a great player. Because, you know,
all right, we'll hit this up, and then we got a book.
All right. So this is just a personal example. So, you know, going into college playing, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm pretty good. I was a great high school player. Man, I'm going to come into Western Michigan. I'm just going to dominate. So I'm playing one-on-one with the point guard, the starting point guard the last 3 years, and I'm just killing him. You know, I'm crushing him. He's easy to play against. I'm like, this guy is an all-MAC performer. Wow, I'm going to dominate this conference. And then we played 5-on-5, and I realized how much I was not very good. Because this guy destroyed because he knew how to read the defense. He knew how to use the screens. He knew how to play. I knew how to play one-on-one against him, player for player, skill for skill. But when it's a team game, you know, he was just far and ahead better than me. This is a guy that's made a lot of money playing overseas for a reason. Cassius Winston, that's the same thing. When you look at him, and this is where I'm going to kind of deflect from what I said the other day. If I had to pick a point guard to lead my team, I probably take him over Trey Burke. The problem is Trey Burke just had such a magical season. They made the NCAA championship game. He was a great, great player. But if I have to have a guy for 4 years, and I'm going to say this is my guy and he's going to be one of the best players we've ever had here, I'm probably taking Cassius Winston. So that's why I rank him high on the list. That's why I think he's one of the best players to ever play there. And who knows what's going to happen in his career. But I will say this. I will miss number five. And he was a lot of fun to watch. And at least we have the memories, you know. One of the, again, best game I ever watched live with Tyler. He was losing his mind. Cassius Winston saved his soul, per se. And it was fun, man. And so Cassius Winston, you are the man. And you will be very much so missed, I'll tell you that much.
Well, let's not forget how he saved my soul. He saved it by screening Zion Williamson and keeping him far enough away from Kenny Goins.
Yes, Kenny, thank you for making that shot, or Tyler would have never invited me over again. Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, but Cash was the one who set that screen, and that's what people forget. He screened Zion Williamson, a little point guard screen, you know, the biggest freak of nature athlete to come through the NBA since LeBron James.
Well, that heart catches. Zion's a big guy, but nobody's heart's bigger than Cassius Winston. I'll tell you that much.
And that's a good spot to end it right there. You know, we're going to get back on next week. We're going to break down football periodically throughout the week. I have Friday off. We could probably just sit there and talk all freaking day on Friday because my wife's leaving for the weekend, and so I got a little bit of freedom. So,
oh my gosh, we're going to do a podcast every second of every day now, if that's the case.
Yeah. So, look, we'll hit you up periodically throughout the week. Friday, we'll wrap up everything Big Ten Network covered, and you know, we will talk to you guys then. For Jeremy File, I am Tyler Hayward. This was the Trouble with Snap Podcast.